Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Time for question and answer. You have a question? Send it on over. You can do that via email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to talk to us, give us a call, toll-free, coast-to-coast, 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-7469. Had a number of questions come in this week. We'll see what we can get through to the top of the hour. Holly, let's see here. Something I've never understood is why it's called sunchokes. They look nothing like artichokes. They are not related to them at all. They're a tuber and not a flower or fruit. And from what I have read, they taste like a potato but sweeter, which that's kind of true. It has a little earthy taste. This is a Jerusalem artichoke or a sunchoke. Why are they called that and not something more relatable?
Sure. So they're also sometimes called sunroots, earth apples, and then obviously sunchokes. They're neither artichokes or they're from Jerusalem. And it does have that brown skin that makes it a tuber like a potato. And it's actually a member of the sunflower family with origins in Northern America and Canada. I think the reason why is because there's a Spanish word called girasol or girasol, which is the word for sunflower. And due to its resemblance of the flower, it looks like a sunflower, kind of like a smaller sunflower. And so then artichoke was added to the end. It's just a name for it, a common name. There's no like real reasoning.
Okay. Next question.
Jeremiah, listening to us on WHAM 1600 out of Ann Arbor on his way to work, he says, I don't do much gardening, but actually enjoy your show when driving to work on the weekends. We planted a little garden with some basic vegetables in it, and it's doing quite well, and some of the raised beds, but I was wanting to try some pumpkins for my six-year-old. I know they run a lot and take up a good amount of space, but was wanting to see maybe the best way to plant them. I have seen where you break up the ground and then basically do a mound of fresh topsoil on top of the ground and then do about 3 seeds per mound. Any advice would be appreciated.
Okay, well, we thank you for listening to the program on your way to work on the weekends. Yes, you can plant them. The reason why people put them in a mound is if they're in that allows that mound, you know, it's about size of, you know, 2 dinner plates, let's say, and about 6 to 8 inches above ground, a little plateau type of shape. You're doing that, or people do that traditionally, in order to get more topsoil into the root system and have a lot more fluffiness to that soil and to let the roots grow down deeper. This also is beneficial if you are in, you get a lot of rain, it doesn't flood your garden out. But it does, pumpkins do take quite a bit of space, you know, between 30 and 100 square feet based on this type of pumpkin. You certainly can plant them, put them in the ground very, very soon, if not today, because they take anywhere from 90 to 130 days, even longer, in order to mature. And putting 3 seeds in that mound is a good number. And then once they are sprouted or germinated, cut back all but one. May seem like it's a terrible waste, but you're going to allow that plant to have ample space in order to grow correctly. But if you're in a raised bed or you've got very good loose soil or dry soil or you're in a dry area, don't worry about mounding or putting that little plateau out or that little hill or mound. Put it directly in the ground to try to get as much moisture to it as possible. And in a raised bed, you don't have to worry about it. All right. Next question. What is the best time to harvest sage in my garden?
Yep. So the best time is early in the morning. Sage and most herbs, just as the dew evaporates, but before the heat of the day, so it doesn't stress out the plant or any of any additional areas of the plant that are still there.
And that's kind of true for a lot of vegetables and fruit. If you can harvest them after they've come off that very relaxing, cool nighttime, and before they get to stress, they're most flavorful at that point during the time frame.
And that's why a lot of times farmers markets don't start until later on in the morning.
In order for them to harvest that very early.
Produce. So I'm growing romaine lettuce for the first time, and now it's starting to grow vertical and when I taste it, it's very bitter. Should I pull it out of the ground? It doesn't taste very edible. Or is it going to get better?
Okay, so if it's going vertical, it's going to seed or going to bolt. Daylight length and temperature is a key factor in this. It's bitter because it's going to seed. So you can do one of two things here. You can leave that plant alone, let it do its cycle, let it flower. It's going to produce seed. You can save that seed, plant it again next year or in the fall. Or as it's doing its going to seed process, bolting process, you can remove the plant in its entirety or however many, how much ever lettuce you think you're going to consume at one setting and take the leaves off of the stem. You're going to take and put it on a cutting board and take a pizza cutter, one of the rolly things that you cut pizza with, and cut the central vein out of each leaf. So you're going to cut the vein out. You're going to have two pieces of leaf. Those pieces of leaf are as edible and as crunchy and as tasteful as lettuce was ever designed to be. The vein is what contains that bitterness. So we've got a number. We've got about 10 star or 10 bundles or 10 plants of romaine going to seed right now, and that is what we are doing because we can't consume all the romaine lettuce that's out in our garden. So you take that center vein out, you eat the leaves that's remaining, nothing's wrong with it. And you can do that for as long as you need to, as long as you keep the plant healthy.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.